Regard, if the testifier could please refrain from making generalizations then about the people that have come here to testify. I would just appreciate that.
So noted.
Yes, thank
you're you. Not aware of all the people's situation that have come here today.
Point taken.
We attack the idea, not each other, right? Okay, we're ready to go. Mr. McGrath.
Okay, thank you. There's two camps here. There's one camp that is all about access to the ballot, making it easy to vote. There's another camp here that thinks that the idea of being easy to vote and also hard to cheat aren't mutually exclusive ideas. This is a smart body. I believe this legislature is capable of handling the enacting of this constitutional amendment in a way that will make it easy to vote, but also hard to cheat. The objective of the 21st Century Voter ID Bill that was passed last session was to make it easy to vote, but hard to cheat. Right now it's all about, it's got to be easy to vote, easy to vote, easy to vote. Well, what about making sure that people who aren't eligible to vote aren't gaming the system? What about making sure that people aren't voting more than once, aren't bringing people in from out of state to vote in precincts that they don't live in? How do we know that isn't happening? It's impossible to detect after the fact. It's impossible to prosecute someone who's used a false name to vote. It's impossible to prosecute someone that's used a false name to vote unless they're caught red-handed in the act of it at the moment that they're doing it. After the fact, there's no way to trace a false name back to the perpetrator, back to their real identity. Now, to presume that a person who right now doesn't have ID can never obtain one is kind of akin to my dilemma that I had this morning when I wanted to have a bowl of Cheerios for breakfast and discovered that we were out. Because I didn't have Cheerios this morning, are we to presume that I can never eat Cheerios again? No. I didn't have Cheerios today, but I could get some at the store tomorrow. People that don't have photographic identification and desire to vote will have the opportunity to get photographic identification. The state will provide one at no charge under this bill, and that will probably improve people's circumstances. So rather than complaining about how difficult it's going to be for some people to obtain an ID, let's talk about how can we make it easier for people that are in those extreme circumstances to get one. Representative Kiffmeyer and I were speaking about this the other day. She proposed an idea of setting up a hotline that people can call for assistance in obtaining their identification. If they need to know where can I get my birth certificate, how do I get my divorce decree, there'll be a number they can call, and a state official that is an expert in this will help them get it. I think that's a better avenue than to just say, well, it's impossible to get identification. Of course it isn't. Well, that's pretty much all I've got to say. So with that, I'll conclude my remarks. I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay. Any questions?
Thank you. And I want to clarify the issue of same-day registration and voting on the same day, because I know Ms. Frazier did say something that perked up my ears on that, and you indicated that people wouldn't be able to do it with this language. And I've read the language several times, and I don't see that in there, and I'm wondering what you were implying.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, I believe that the language that requires identical standards of eligibility verification to the extent practicable would most likely eliminate Election Day registration. There are several checks that we do of registered voters that don't happen for Election Day registrants until after Election Day. And so I think it would be nearly impossible to say that they're subject to identical verification requirements.
I don't think that's the intent. So how would you change it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, if I wanted to ensure that this language did not eliminate Election Day registration, I would strike that sentence.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling.
You would strike all voters must be subject to identical eligibility verification standards?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Wilber.
And on that, and I have some concerns about that line myself, because as Mr. McGrath said, if we if we allow people to put on like an identification number from their driver's license or some other form of state-issued ID, but other people showing up at the polls have to show their ID, would that be considered identical eligibility verification standards? I don't know if a court would consider that identical. And I certainly don't want to disenfranchise people who aren't in the state on election day and want to vote absentee, whether they're military or whether they're students living in another state who are Minnesota residents. I want to make sure that we have that option. And I'm struggling with the idea of identical eligibility verification standards, because if identical means truly identical, I don't know how we deal with that. And I'd just like to have that addressed. Mr. McGrath, maybe you want to respond?
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, thank you for the question. Yeah, this was done last year. The 21st Century Voter ID Bill was designed to accomplish this very objective of equalizing verification standards, so that essentially the system that is in place in the Secretary of State's office or the county auditor's offices could be brought directly into the polling place, so that verification checks could be done on people registering on election day. And I think that's just a matter of fundamental fairness, that all voters should be subject to the same scrutiny and same standards of verification.
Mr. Chair, that doesn't quite answer my question about how an absentee voter would be able to have the identical eligibility verification standard when they sent in their ballot, because they aren't going to be sending in their ID card. And so I don't know if a copy of it would be identical or considered identical. I'm worried about that specific language.
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, the objective here, it says as practicable. So it's identical as practicable. If it's impossible to be exactly identical, we want to look for an equal outcome, so that the outcome is the same, even if the process is somewhat different. That would be, perhaps you'd enclose a photocopy of your identification. Perhaps it would be as simple as write down your ID number, and they can check behind the scenes to verify that ID number is valid and that belongs to the person that's casting the absentee ballot. That'll be up to the legislature to decide the details. But in the 21st Century Voter ID Bill, as an example, all that was required is that they put their driver's license or state ID number on the absentee ballot envelope.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. McGrath, I have a question. We've heard a lot of testimony in regards to people believe that this issue is going to bring less people to the polls. We've got documentation here of many, many states that have this now. Have you looked at the actual effect in other states of voter ID before and after? Are more people coming to the polls, or is it less polls? Do you have any documentation that relates to that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, I don't have documentation with me. I could provide some to you by email or send some to the committee. From the top of my head, I do recall that the research that's been done in states that have passed voter ID bills has shown that election voter participation increases post-voter ID, and that in the groups that are often said will be disenfranchised, we see increases in those demographics as well, including minorities and even Democrat voters. So the Democrats that are opposing this might look at Democrat voter turnout increases in other states post-voter ID.
Ms. Fraser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to respond to some of Senator Roebling's questions. In terms of absentee voting, enclosing a copy of your identification card I don't think would be identical, because even though you would have a copy of the card, you wouldn't have the person in front of you to be sure that the picture is of the person that mailed the card. And in the bill last year, it required that you write down your identification card number and that it be verified, which would mean, of course, that absentee voters would have to have a valid Minnesota driver's license or ID card number or one of these voter cards in order to vote. which is different than how it's been implemented in any other state that I'm aware of. In terms of the bill that was passed last year, and Mr. McGrath said that it would have applied identical verification standards to Election Day registrants, I don't believe that it would have, but that bill required electronic poll books be used so that different databases could be on the poll books, which is very expensive. But the piece that would also be needed is that they would need to be online, because one of the key steps that we do is we verify voters, their date of birth, and their driver's license number with the Department of Public Safety Driver and Vehicle Services Division every night. And so if they're not online, then they wouldn't be subject to that eligibility requirement verification on Election Day. So I just don't see how Election Day registrants would be subject to identical verification requirements. It's just impossible. In terms of the postal verification cards, those have to do with people moving. And one-third of people that move don't file a forwarding order. So their card just comes back as undeliverable and then is marked as such in the database, which is why there are several, why there are a bunch of cards that are just marked as undeliverable. And requiring people to show an ID with their address doesn't prove that they live there. I moved this past summer, and because we now have updates to voter registrations through the National Change of Address Service, my voter registration was actually updated before my driver's license was. And so there was a time where I was registered at the right address but had an ID with the wrong address. Just because somebody has an address on their ID doesn't prove that that's where they live. Thank you.
Senator Peterson, you had a follow-up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just found the list here. I counted. There's 31 states right now in the country that have some form of photo ID required to vote. And so my same question was to you, Ms. Frazier. Has the Secretary of State looked at the results of voting records before photo ID was implemented and after photo ID was implemented to see whether it increases or decreases participation?
Ms. Frazier.
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, I'm not as familiar with other states. What I know is that Minnesota consistently has the highest voter participation in the country and that there's not much room to go up.
Mr. Chair, I mean, it seems like a reasonable request to do some research with other states that have gone through this. Are you saying that the Secretary of State is not willing to look at voting records in other states before they implemented voter ID and after photo ID?
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, I'm not saying that we're not willing to look at it. I'm just saying I don't have that information with me now.
Last question. I mean, do you think that's important based on the testimony we've heard? We've heard overwhelming testimony that people believe that participation is going to be diminished. I would think it would be a priority of the Secretary of State to find out if that's actually true or not. You know, myself, I mean, I'll be doing that research myself as well in my office, but when we've heard testimony to that effect today, I mean, I would hope the Secretary of State would be willing to try and confirm that and show that to be true. So,
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, we'd be happy to look at that. I do want to point out that this photo ID bill would be different than the ID bills in any other state and would probably be one of the most stringent in terms of having the identical verification requirements, in terms of a potential impact on absentee voting, in terms of eliminating Election Day registration. If the bill that was passed last year is a model for how the legislature would plan to implement it, it would have required that the same address be on your ID that you're showing. I'm not aware of another state that requires that. So we can look at other states, but they haven't implemented what this legislature is considering.
Thank you. I'll watch for that.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize. I had to miss part of the this hearing due to another. But I am kind of going back to Senator Roebling's concerns. Certainly, we have to make sure that we do not inhibit absentee voting or same-day registration voting. And I'd like to know from Ms. Frazier, what would be a better way to allow for photo ID without inhibiting absentee or same-day voter registration?
Ms. Frazier, would you fix our bill that you don't like?
Really?
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, in terms of this amendment, I believe that eliminating the sentence that says all voters must be subject to identical verification standards as far as practicable before voting, regardless of the time of registration, that eliminating that sentence would reduce concerns about the impact on absentee voting and Election Day registration.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chair.
So
it appears that still we would have valid photo ID. It's just that you wouldn't have that identical eligibility sentence.
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson. Yes, I mean, we would still have concerns about people who don't have ID, who, like Senator Harrington's mother, who would have trouble getting an ID, or whether the requirements were as strict as the ones last year, were required a state-issued ID with the current address.
Okay, Mr. Chair, just one final follow-up. There's been a lot of discussion about this, about the importance or maybe the hardship of asking someone to have a photo ID. And I have a different view on that. I think if we've got folks who do not have a photo ID, they are already disenfranchised in our society. There is so much that requires a photo ID. I went to register at my just to renew my library card at my city library, and they very kindly said, well, we'll be glad to renew that for you. However, you have to have a photo ID. Do you have one? And, of course, I said, sure, here it is. I'm glad you've implemented that policy. And so I think if someone doesn't have a photo ID, and I'm sure this legislation requires that one would be provided to those who do not, quite frankly, I believe we're doing them a great service if we were to give those who do not have a photo ID a photo ID. Two examples. One is kind of a personal example, actually. My father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's last year. And one of the things we had to do was take away his driver's license. I'm sorry. And that was very hard. But one of the things we did, and I thank the neurologist who actually suggested that at the very appointment, you make sure you get him a photo ID to keep in his wallet. We need to do that. And I think it's a disservice if we don't provide photo ID to our folks. And just one other example, one of the homeless groups here, and one of the groups that provide services for homeless individuals here in the cities, at another hearing in another year, actually talked about it had nothing to do with photo ID. However, they had three homes, and they gave a photo ID to each homeless individual who came to those homes, because it's very important to, quite frankly, our functioning in society. So I'd like to take away this argument about people not having a photo ID. They will be provided one, and I think, quite frankly, we will be doing them a favor to get them a photo ID.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Fraser.
Senator Nelson, I think you missed the testimony from the woman who was here who had to leave because she was on oxygen, who talked about getting her driver's license or her state ID card and how it took her literally all day because she had to keep going from office to collect her divorce decree, her birth certificate, and how she wasn't sure next year whether she'd be in a nursing home and that she might not be able to get the ID.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Nelson.
I was here for that testimony, and quite frankly, I think that's something we need to look at with the DMV. And again, that lady will be much better served if she does have a photo ID. And I think we have ways that we should be able to provide that within our governmental structure, and we should be able to provide it without all the barriers and the waiting in line and the going from department to department that was described today.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Fraser, one of the things that's popping up and that all the hoops we need to go through to get an ID, my question is, we have a whole lot of voters that don't have birth certificates readily available, they've never had an ID or whatever, but they're eligible to vote in this state. Can you explain how all of a sudden, if we get new, if we require voter new IDs for voting, that we have to somehow go back to birth certificates in order to verify their eligibility to vote, and why some folks don't need to do that currently, or don't need to have that information currently? How would they get registered to vote, for example, in the first place? if they didn't show their ID and had never had a birth certificate, for example.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kulesh, right now to register to vote, you need to fill out the voter registration application. And it requires, if you have one, that you provide your Minnesota driver's license number or state ID card number. And if you don't have one of those, that you provide the last four digits of your Social Security number. And if you don't have one of those, which many older women do not because their husband always was the one that worked, then you're allowed to check the box saying that you do not have any of those forms of identification. For voters that do provide it, and nearly all do, we then verify the voter's name, number, and date of birth with either the Driver and Vehicle Services database or with the Social Security Administration database. So we do that verification. We run their name against several databases. We mail them a non-forwardable postcard to ensure that they live where they said, and then they are registered. And so there are some voters that would not have to have a birth certificate currently who would have to because they'd have to obtain an ID under this system.
Members, I hate to interrupt here, but we may have other people that have been waiting to testify, mm-hmm. so we should probably be considerate to them, move along a little bit. Mr. Lebo, were you done?
I just have one last comment, if I could.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I just wanted to say that Tea Party Patriots is a 100% volunteer organization. We are not paid by anybody, and I did take a day off of work to come here for this. I just wanted you to know that. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for your testimony. Is it Jeanette Goodell here? Goodell? Jeanette Goodell. Is there anyone else that would like to testify? Come on.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I want to testify.
Yeah, sit down and state your name for the tape.
Yes.
Into the microphone. Thank you for coming. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and all distinguished committee members. It's a pleasure to be here and to have the opportunity to testify. My name is Bob Tatro. I'm just a citizen of Woodbury, Minnesota.
Works here, sir.
Pardon?
That works here.
It works. Thank you. And I want to testify on behalf in support of Senate File 1577. I have heard that there are alleged technological challenges here, but I'd remind all of us here, distinguished people here, that photography has existed for over 150 years, so I don't think it's going to be a problem for us. I have been an election judge for many years. I am always impressed by how many come forward with their driver's license or a state ID card in their hand, and they want to give it to me, and how many voters actually tell me that they feel that this should be part of the standard thing for voting. And as I think one of the testifiers said, over 80%, when this is bipartisan, this is totally across the board, surveys in Minnesota, they all feel photo ID should be the standard for voting. And the driver's license itself, it's just verification of information. There's no increased burden with it. You need a driver's license or some kind of proper ID to fly on an airplane, to open a bank account, to cash a check, to get a library card, as our senator over here mentioned, and innumerable other mundane activities. I mean, can you imagine vouching for someone to fly on an airplane? I don't think it's going to work. With regard to election judge training, we're already trained to evaluate driver's licenses. I can't see any increase in training or administrative costs that'll be there. And I don't want to disparage anyone or say it in a negative way, but I think it's to make that is kind of a bogus objection. That's going to be a cost factor there. So all these issues of certification, joblessness, homelessness, and disability, and transportation challenges, they touch all of our hearts. They really do, and we all know in our hearts as Minnesotans, these issues will be completely and satisfactorily addressed and resolved by future legislators. We know that. We can be assured of that. And I don't think we should fear, in particular, this particular constitutional amendment. And I just want to add one more thing. I'm an avid reader of the Bible, and I can assure you all there's no biblical injunction against this thing. It's just right what you might have heard. So So thank you. I appreciate this ability to testify, and if you have any questions, I can try and answer them. I will.
Any questions for the witness? Thank you very much for your testimony, for coming in. Is there anyone else like to testify for or against the bill? Come on up, please. You could state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Joey Dobson. I work with the Minnesota Public Interest Research Group, formerly known, or more commonly known as MPIRG. So for those of you who don't know, we work with college students across the state of Minnesota. We have 7 chapters. I organize at 3 of them, Augsburg, Hamlin, and the University of Minnesota Morris campus. A lot of reasons have been brought up of why, but more about the feasibility of getting the IDs in the first place, not so much of requiring them. Just to add another, I was expecting to hear something about special elections being called. I've been here all day. Maybe I missed it. I zoned out. Nothing's been talked about with that. The December special primary that was held and then the January special elections that were just held. I had my own frustrations with the timing of those. I know in some ways it was unavoidable. However, that's when students are gone, right? The 2010 primary for the governor's election was held at a time when students aren't in school. That's not the issue that we're talking about here today. However, the 2-year notice for getting an ID, again, it doesn't work for college students who move around once a semester, once a year. And those special elections have low voter turnout. And we want students to be able to participate in those. I mean, we want those to be a case where Minnesota also can show off how great we are at voter turnout. And I just think that is another really, really, really important piece that needs to be considered with the feasibility of getting the IDs in the hands of young people who want to be active and engaged in this political process. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the witness? Thank you for your testimony. Anyone else care to testify for or against the bill? Would you state your name for the tape, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Rayhard Anderson. I was at another committee meeting, and I apologize for being late. My experience as an election judge was disheartening in Shoreview, Minnesota. We had people coming in with identification such as Xcel Energy or bills, you know, that would identify where they lived. And several of the people that were vouching for each other appeared to be using the same bill. So I was a little upset, and I called the head judge and asked if there was a way to verify this. And to me, I said, this doesn't seem right. My response from the lead judge, whose name I know and I won't state, was that we would wait until tomorrow and check it out. And I said, wait until tomorrow and check it out. Tonight, the vote is going to be counted. So I was really upset with that outcome, and that happened several times just with me. After the election, I was told for Shoreview, and I can't verify it because I don't have the statistics, I was told that we had 114 people registered in a one-bedroom apartment in our area. And how do you fix something like that after the fact? I would really vote, if I had a chance, in favor of photo ID. And yes, you can't get on an airplane, you know, by vouching or by using your Xcel Energy bill. I think that's for a very good reason. And certainly, our elections need to be protected, need to be honest. Students, as far as I know, can vote. I have 4 students, went to college, voted. They were registered at home to vote, and they voted by absentee ballot. Isn't that okay? So we didn't have problems with my 4 students, my children, that went to college. They could all vote. But they could have registered to vote, I imagine, at their college. They went in California. They went in Illinois, and they went in to college here in the Twin Cities. Anyway, I thank you for your work, and I would really hope that this would be accomplished.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions for the witness?
Any questions?
Thank you. I'll have you know my mother, who is also on oxygen, would tell the same story. And she was an election judge up till last year. So similar stories. Thank you.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I guess I just need to say that I find it an incredible, sad contradiction that anyone thinks it's an improvement to our democracy to require citizens to ask permission from the government to vote. It's a guaranteed right in our Constitution. And I find much of this discussion very hard to listen to. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other testimony or any other comments? Senator Newman.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that we were going to complete testimony and then maybe either take a recess or continue the hearing to a different date. And I have reached the point where that isn't too bad of an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, be real honest.
I think that's what we'll do. We're going to lay the bill on the table, and we're going to adjourn. Take the bill up and have our discussion on it at a later date. So,
Mr. Chair, is that going to be at the next meeting?
We'll see if they're ready. I think that's
okay.
We were planning on being done today, so I'm not sure if we're even looking at other bills scheduled, I think, for next meeting. So we'll see it. Have to check.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, yes. I just want to publicly thank you again for letting the hearing go through the afternoon. I know that was really your doing, that was able to happen, and I think it was to the benefit of all the people testifying and to us that I know we had conflicts, but we would have had conflicts into the evening. So I appreciate that you allowed it for the people to come and testify. So thank you for doing that.
And I'd like to thank all of you for how you acted during this hearing. I think we learned a lot, all of us, and did it respectfully and diligently. So thank you so much. I'll lay over Senate File 1577 for further consideration. And we are, for today, adjourned.